Bone of education. Let's learn. Hit it.
What good is a radio show if it can't teach you about useless things?
Here, I've redorculated.
Open your minds and unzip your pants, because it's time for Bone of Education.
Sponsored by Clearview Building Services, providing your windows with the clearest clean you've ever seen. Visit clearview-buildingservices.com.
Can you believe that we got a stupid sponsor for this segment?
Love it.
Well, the sponsor's not stupid. The segment is stupid.
The segment is very stupid.
People like it enough where they said, yes, I will spend money on this. Go ahead, Bone.
I'm excited about it. Now, today we're going to learn about, Mike, something I know you study all the time, subatomic particles. Are you aware of subatomic particles?
Oh, yes, of course.
Now, maybe that name sounds like my eyes are going to roll back in the back of my head, but what we're talking about is electrons, neutrons, protons. There's other ones, too, like the Higgs boson, which was recently discovered, fairly recently. But the one we're going to talk about today is the muon, Mike, M-U-O-N. I hope I'm saying that right. The muon is known as the fat electron. And in studying these tiny subatomic particles, this muon, the fat electron, seems to be disobeying the known laws of physics. That is the major headline to take away from this. This is news from this week. This thing is breaking the laws of physics, and that to me seems pretty noteworthy, so we're going to talk about it. The reason it's called a fat electron is because a muon is 200 times more massive than an electron, but it behaves very similarly to an electron, and we understand electrons very well. We understand how they move. Muons were discovered by Columbia University physicist I.I. Rabi in 1936. Yes. Father of Margot. No. They are...
good man.
He's brought a lot of good into the world, Mike.
Yes.
They are affected by magnetic fields, and they have pretty predictable movement. To put it simply, they spin. That's what these fat electrons, these muons, do. And since we understand their movements fairly well, physicists use muons to try to detect particles they can't measure or see. Because if it moves in a way that it's not supposed to, then they can say, something made it move. What was that? And they go from there. So let's put it this way. If a muon was a tennis ball, they're more or less throwing a tennis ball against the wall, and then they're throwing all kinds of variables at it, like using advanced physics to predict what will happen if they throw it faster or from further away or in a windstorm. That's what they're basically doing with these muons. So most of what we know about the laws of physics, that is called the standard model. It's a formula. There's a bunch of rules to it. This is what theoretical physicists use to try to figure out the known universe. And so everything that they know kind of goes off of this model. And when they discover something new, they add it to the model. But this model has so far predicted what the fat electrons would do under all kinds of conditions, until it didn't. Back in the late 90s, they did a series of experiments that went different than they thought they would. This was at the Brookhaven National Lab in Long Island, New York. The experiment concluded in 2001, and it showed scientists that the muons reacted differently than they would have predicted using the standard model. Unfortunately, that experiment was not able to prove anything definitively, and they said, we need to do more experiments. Maybe we'll pick this up in a few months or a few years. Or the program will get shut down and we'll never do this again. And that's actually what happened. All the equipment was just kind of sitting there at the Brookhaven National Laboratory until 4 years ago. That's when the giant magnet they used for this experiment was moved to the Fermi Lab in suburban Chicago.
I've been there.
Oh, yeah. It's a cool looking building. I've never been.
I took a tour of it. Yeah.
Crazy place, right? I mean, they've got all kinds of brilliant people working there trying to study this stuff. And so they restarted these experiments. They also have a particle accelerator at the Fermi Lab, so they can shoot these muon particles faster than you would in previous experiments. They've actually, Mike, and I thought you'd appreciate this, they've been able to create the strongest stream of fat electrons in a lab in the U.S. It's all right there at the Fermi Lab. So
that's a hell of a battle, though, because, you know, yeah, labs all over the country,
they're all trying to create a
fat stream of fatty electrons.
Yes. So over 200 physicists from 7 different countries have been working together on this project. Think about that. 200 of the most brilliant physicists in the world. They're all working on this one project, and it has extremely complicated measurements and sensitive equipment. Well, after 4 years of experiments, they started to put the data together. They found there was a similar unpredicted movement to the one they found in the Brookhaven experiment. So that would seem to indicate, Mike, that there is something that is interacting with these muons, these fat electrons, causing the unpredicted movement. So what does all of that mean? If these results hold, because remember, they have many more years of experiments they have to do, but they think it likely means we're closer to being able to detect theoretical particles that can't currently be explained by physics. So they're saying,
you know what
this
all this
could
means
lead
to me?
What does it mean?
Time travel.
It could mean that. It
time
could
travel
mean,
is, I don't know how, but this it, is going
no,
to create time travel.
So like touchscreen, right? Like we never had touchscreens growing up, and then suddenly they're everywhere. They're on your phone. They're everywhere you go now. Touchscreens were developed after particle research like this, where they found new things and that particles reacted in different ways, and that led them down different. So once they understand small movements in small little tiny particles, they extrapolate it to bigger things, and it leads them to totally new discoveries. But in this one, like, there's this stuff called dark matter. Scientists believe it makes up a quarter of the universe, and we can't even see it. We have not been able to detect it. But they say, mathematically speaking, this stuff has to exist. We just don't know how to find it. So this is one of the experiments they're saying that could lead them to actually finding this dark matter. And then once they find it, they can study it, see what it does. And who knows? Maybe it will let you travel back in time or open up new portals to different dimensions. And we can go to dimensions where there was no COVID or it was all COVID or whatever. The point is,
maybe
we have no idea.
In some of those dimensions.
Oh, I wish. I want to go to that one. The point is, whenever they get to something like this, literally almost every physicist I have read in the last couple days, because this just came out on Wednesday, just yesterday, all of them are saying this totally breaks all of our models. If this holds, we don't know anything and we get to start over. And they're all excited about it.
We don't know anything. We don't know anything anyway. But I love how it's like, oh my gosh, we didn't expect this result. What are we going to do? Let's wait 17 years and then try it
again. That's just it, right? It's they said, oh yeah, we'll pick this back up again. And then they need funding, right? That's, I guess, the main takeaway from this is when you hear scientists saying, if only we had more funding, we could figure out some more problems, believe them. Because it seems like here, someone finally put this thing back together again. They're now doing these experiments, and it's leading to breakthroughs. So, yeah, I just find that exciting when all these very smart people are saying, yeah, we don't know anything, and we love it. That seems good, right? That they're getting to more discoveries, and I think that's encouraging.
Thank you, Bone.